The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And good afternoon. And it's always interesting when the college football playoff talks about the playoff and where it's going. And we got that news late Friday afternoon. And since then, we've all been, all of us talking heads and all of us college football fans have been pontificating about things of which we really don't know much about, but we think we do. The man that does know a little bit more than we do is joining us now, the executive director of the College Football Playoff. He is Bill Hancock. And Bill, it's always a pleasure to welcome you back to the program. We haven't seen you or talked to you in a while. We hope you're doing well. Good afternoon.
Doing well, Paul. It's always a pleasure to be on, and I hope you're doing well as well.
We are. We're doing fantastic, and I think everyone who loves college football, which I think is pretty much everyone watching or listening right now, is extremely eager to hear where you where the committee is. I think I've made the mistake of confusing you as the committee. You do speak sometimes for the committee, but you're part of it in certainly in an administrative role. So help us understand better, Bill, where what happened the other day and what it all means.
Well, the news that came out last week was really a continuation of conversations that have been happening for, I don't know, a couple of years. This was a matter of a working group presenting a report, an interim report, to our management committee. And I know you know that the management committee is the conference commissioners and the Notre Dame athletic director. And I know you also know we have a long process for deciding things like this, but this was a report.
And Bill, certainly this conversation about the future has been going on a long time, but can I ask you to comment specifically about what was in this report in relation to the expansion? Because it was fairly expansive, and it talked about things which I was unaware that was even, were even being discussed, and that's to the degree that the conference, the CFP could expand even more dramatically than some of us in the media are referring to. So how did it get to that point? And I'm curious about the decision to include that in your statement the other day.
Yeah, you bet. I had been saying that the management committee had been talking about the issue, and that really it's good, smart governance to do that. Well, last week, the working group, which is a subset of four of the management committee, was fortunate enough to have an in-person meeting, and they got a lot of work done. There's still plenty of work to do, but they felt comfortable reporting to the management committee broadly what they had been talking about. And then we said, hey, why don't we just put this out? Rather than Bill saying they're talking, let's tell them what they've been talking about. Again, I can't stress this enough. It's inappropriate and too soon to read too much into this conversation, but they have been talking. As you know, we're getting ready to enter the eighth year of the 12-year agreement, and for the four-team tournament. Nothing is imminent. Good grief, we don't know whether any change might happen, much less when it might take place. But as we reported, the working group has talked about 4, 8, 10, 12, 16. It's just smart to have all the options on the table, and all the options have been on the table for the working group.
Bill, I bring this up because you and I have had many delightful conversations about what we both formerly did, and that was work in the industry. I'm still in it to a degree, but not in the newspaper industry, and you were your family was involved in that, and I know it's something you care about. So I don't know how much you consume. You have a lot on your plate, but most of the reaction to the statement on Friday has been extremely positive in relation to expansion, especially an eight school playoff. Some have said they think this is the last year. Others have said it's coming before the end of the contract. It is the topic of conversation, other than the draft, of course, in the realm of college football. So in relation to that, when do we hear something else? Because the bees are buzzing right now, as you can imagine.
Well, I know that. And like you said, as a former newspaper man, I would be chasing down this story to every extent that I could myself. So I completely understand. And I would probably be speculating about things that I don't know anything about.
Now you're starting to, now you're getting to it.
Just like it's happening. So I don't begrudge speculation, but the fact is, and good grief, the timetable is important, and we get that. But the fact is, we don't have one. It hasn't been determined yet. And I did tell a reporter the other day that there will not be a format change this season or the next. But it's too soon to predict what the timing will be. We're being deliberate and careful and with a complex matter. I think if I were a reporter, I think I would just report that the timing is unclear, because that would happen to be the truth.
Yeah, I won't ask you to role play here, because that's not appropriate. But let's talk about some of the things that can at least help the audience understand better. You mentioned this begins the eighth out of the eighth year, so it's a 12-year deal. And can you or can you not discuss whether there are look-ins to this contract which give the partners here, which of course are the CFP and ESPN, the right to change the agreement?
There are not any contracted look-ins.
Okay.
A couple of years ago, we did have the opportunity to consider the Cotton Fiesta and Peach Bowls as part of CFP, because their initial contracts were only for 6 years, but we renewed them for the last six. But no, there's no contracted look-ins.
And the reason I bring that up, as you know, you've done a lot of big contracts when you were part of the NCAA basketball committee, and sometimes there are these availabilities in these long contracts to give the parties. Now again, these are not two foreign countries here who are sparring. I mean, these are fairly, I don't want to speak for anyone, but I mean, these are friendly partners. So I guess what I'm getting at here, Bill, is if at some point the two agreed that it was time to change the last year or two, is that possible?
The two being CFP and ESPN?
Correct.
Yeah. I think if the time came when we said, you know, we'd like to get a little more serious about this, I think we probably would. We certainly would have to talk to ESPN. I don't know. I have no way to predict what the outcome of that might be. But folks can talk.
Bill, and this is more hypothetical, because contracts, I mean, we just got through watching the NHL. We're watching that today. We saw the NFL. Is there a standard point where the partners get together and say, okay, we are 1 year out, 2 years out? Because this is where a lot of people are wondering that, you know, where does that next conversation seriously begin?
Well, let me go back to when we created the CFP, and those we had, at that time, we had two and a half more years to go on our contract for the BCS. And so that's when the conversations began for that one. I've been around this for a long time, as you said, and have seen different contracts discussed at different stages before the end of the agreement. So I just don't think there's any way to tell or predict or even really speculate on when the conversations could be and what the outcome of those conversations might be.
Bill, finally, you read these articles. I'm not sure I don't suppose you read every one, but you know what the narrative is, and some of it involves the overall ratings. We hear, as I'm sure you do, the same teams are in it every year, and this is not the time for that. There are blowouts. All these things that I'm not sure you can solve that by adding more schools to the pot, but fans care, and you know that, and I know you appreciate that. So what do you say to all those who wonder Why can't this thing be better?
Well, I would go back to when we created the CFP and how thrilled everyone was that we were going to have a tournament on the field to decide the champion. And you were there. You remember. People were thrilled. And some people think maybe that there might be a better way. I get that. I do read some of the press. I don't read much of it, but I do read some of it. And again, I totally understand what people want to write and think and say about this. But it's going to be a matter of the presidents who manage the CFP deciding that something different should happen. And at whichever point they decide that, then we'll start investigating and see what might be the outcome.
So let me end by asking you just to elaborate a little bit, because, you know, we tend to blame whatever we want to blame on the Power Five commissioners. But ultimately, is it the management council that has the final authority here? And those are presidents?
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We call that, yes, it is presidents. In our structure, they are the board of managers, and they're ten conferences in Notre Dame all participate, and it will ultimately be their decision.
Well, Bill, we'll leave it there. You've helped settle some of the anxiety here on what we think or don't know, and then the bottom line is none of us know very much, but that is not going to stop us from talking about it. So thanks for helping us out today.
All right, Paul, I was just going to ask you one thing. Should a 7-inning no-hitter be counted as a no-hitter?
Yeah, that happened yesterday. I think whatever the stipulation is, it wasn't like an abbreviated game. That's how it was set out to be. So I would say yes.
I think so too, and I would haul out my asterisk if necessary.
Yeah.
I don't know what your listeners think, but I'm with you on that one.
Well, and by the way, tomorrow Bill will be co-hosting us as we talk about the rules of baseball. Hey, Bill, I can't thank you enough. It's always great to talk to you.
Great, Paul. Thank you so much. Take care.
Bill Hancock, who is the executive director of the College Football Playoff, with the absolute latest on where the CFP is. We'll get your reaction to that when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And, of course, the draft is Thursday night. It begins at 8 p.m. with round one. We're taking your phone calls the rest of the way, and let's check out Augie, who is in New Orleans. Hello, Augie. Welcome.
Hey, thank you, Paul. Before Bill Hancock came on, I was going to ask you if anyone at ESPN had a better hairstyle than Mel Kiper Jr.
No.
But I want to ask you this. Does Bill Hancock not, his picture that they put up on the screen, he looks like an Undertaker. And his explanation is, he does. And his explanation, I thought he was going to take us back to Genesis. Every time you asked him a question, went back to the old BCS. And it seems like their goal is to throw stuff out there, see what sticks, and then retract and not necessarily recant, but just throw out the disclaimer. We're just thinking out loud here. But they're obviously trying to get a buzz started.
Let me see if I could break it down for you, Augie. There's at least a theory from some friends of mine in the television industry that what they've really done is, and this is awkward because I work there, but that they really put the the Disney company on notice. Hey, listen, this contract runs out in 4 more years, and ultimately, it's if you want it, you better make some noise now, or it's going to the free market. That's just a theory. Now, I guess I could call somebody that I work for, but I'll let somebody else do that for the time being.
Well, that's a theory that went right over my head because I wasn't thinking of that. But I mean, it's probably the most obvious answer. But
I mean, you're a lawyer. You understand this is negotiate. You don't keep saying we're not going to expand, which has been their message in the new world.
Right.
And I'm sure the leaders of college football have watched the money being spent recently by professional sports, and they're going, you know what, we can get some more than we currently have. And while they have good relationships, this is a fairly competitive world out there, but live sports do matter. And I think it's a certainty that an 8-team playoff is worth far more than a 4-team playoff, which, guess what, isn't really delivering an audience.
Well, that's why I'm thinking it's going to be more of an 8-game, meaning 16-team playoff.
Well, maybe, but that's hard. But then that upsets everything else. And there are so many different things involved here. And you have the conference championship games, which would be meaningless if you had a 16-team playoff. You have these bowl tie-ups. There are many contracts within this umbrella, and that's why it's not as easy as just blow it up and start all over again. You can do it because we're talking primarily about the same networks, but not in every case. I mean, for example, here we go again. CBS still has the rights to the SEC championship game for a couple more years. Now ESPN is waiting in the wings.
Oh, no.
But when do they take that contract over? What we need here is what we really need is a television executive to try to explain some of this.
That and an accountant. But you brought up Gary Danielson again, so I know that'll upset some folks. But Paul, over the weekend, Sir Charles got into some trouble. Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
I won't go into that, but poor Sir Charles. He's always like sticking his mouth sometimes too far. But I want to congratulate Griffith. He's got a national championship that he can expound upon. So congratulations to UGA. But Paul, last week I brought up, and I shouldn't have done it, but I brought up Jeff. And a couple of days later, he called in. And I just want you to know that there was a big article in Popular Mechanics, I think, about the price of lumber. And it really is a significant thing. And that might explain why he is so sour these days. Because house prices have jumped like 24K on an average basis because of the price of lumber. But it's really interesting when Logan calls in and chastises Jeff over his calls. So I want to apologize for bringing up Jeff, and hopefully he's doing better. But he was really
well. Augie, I don't mean to be dismissive of the price of lumber. If you're looking or if you're building a home, it's very critical. Now, what it also tells me is this, and see if you agree, that if you're building a very expensive house, the price of lumber matters, but you can factor it in. But if you're building less expensive homes, the margin is going to be significantly less. So that's my gut feeling that Jeff is doing. he's part of one. And you see these companies where they build villages, and maybe Jeff has been, maybe they've outsourced some of the homes to Jeff, and if lumber is up twice what it was a year ago, Jeff's margins. Jeff's going to, what it means is Jeff's going to have to be on the roof versus one of his workers.
That's true. And you mentioned, you were talking earlier about a 2-loss team making it into the BCS, and you were rightly so, and saying it was LSU, but it wasn't Oklahoma.
No, you're right. Yeah, that was
Ohio State.
Yeah, no, I knew. I was thinking because I've heard my friend Marcus Spears say a million times how he intercepted the pass against Oklahoma. Exactly. Yeah. No, you're right. Ohio State was in 07 and was it Oklahoma in 06?
03.
May have been, yeah, I can't.
03.
I think, did Florida beat in 06? I'm trying to remember. Was that Ohio State? It wouldn't have been Ohio State, too.
No, honestly, I don't remember.
And by the way, as I said that, I was confusing for the only time in my life Nick Saban and Les Miles.
Oh boy, that's a tough one to confuse. But Paul, I do want to congratulate Georgia on their equestrian national championship. And for the benefit of Swami, Paul, you might want to explain what equestrian means.
Thank you. You got it. Gianni is up next in California. Good afternoon, Gianni.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just wanted to get your take on what do you think the Jets should do with the second overall pick? Do you think they should take Zach Wilson?
That would be my inclination based on what I hear from them. I mean, it's hard for me to differentiate all these quarterbacks. I mean, I know how I feel about Trevor Lawrence. And after that, I'm confused. I'm pretty confused because you just simply have to match the quarterback with the system, and that's why Mac Jones is looking more likely to go San Francisco. And I think it's one thing that's hurting Justin Fields, even though he very well may be the second most qualified quarterback in the draft. He's a little more of a fit than just grabbing him because he's a quarterback.
Yeah, I feel the same way about Justin Fields. I think he's one of the most underrated guys in this draft. I don't think he gets a lot of credit for what he's been able to do at Ohio State. But, you know, for the Jets, you know, I do like Zach Wilson, but I just have a feeling that if the Jets, they take Zach Wilson on Thursday night, they could be hurting his chances in the NFL, and the Jets franchise might stay the same.
Gianni, I don't want to make too much out of this because it's almost cliche, but I don't think the Jets could ever make the right choice, no matter what. I think this is a doom franchise, and I mean, it's like Murphy's Law. If you know what can go wrong, will go wrong. Hey, thank you for the call. Really do appreciate the call from California. We have a long list of callers ready to come on, and we will get to all of you in a moment. We still have 30 minutes to go. It's been a good one with Kiefer at the beginning. We talked to Rabelais about the situation with Kim Mulkey coming to Baton Rouge, and Bruce Feldman, fantastic conversation. Don't forget Nick Saban tomorrow. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. Bill is up next in South Carolina as we begin to wind things down. Hey, Bill.
Hello.
Hey, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I was just, I listened to your program, and I was wondering if you had ever heard or if you're going to interview Urban Meyer. His dad was a battalion commander in Germany in the army, and Urban was about maybe 9 or 10 years old, but Elvis was in the company. And he knew Elvis, he knew his wife, and I used to live in Jacksonville, and Orb Meyer was on a radio interview, and he talked about it at length, and it was very interesting. I don't know, were you aware of that?
I was. I knew Urban's father was in the service. I've read a lot about him in the past. Somebody did a really...
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, Brand name treatments like Viagra or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
I can't remember what it was. It was an extraordinary story about their relationship, but I was not aware of the Elvis part of it. No.
Oh yeah, he loved Elvis, and he talks about how he was with the other troops and things like that. It was.
I'll see if I can. At some point, maybe we can have that conversation. I was completely unaware of that part of it, but I appreciate you sharing that. That's fantastic.
Well, I'm going to tell you a little piece of minutia, because you don't talk to many people. I'm old now. You don't talk to many people who spent time with Jackie Robinson and Muhammad Ali. I did.
Well, let me ask you to tell me more about it.
No, it's just this is interesting too, because you might not be aware of it. Before that, I come from Brooklyn.
Sure.
And before the Dodgers game, they had and the TV just started in about 1950-49. They had a program called Happy Felton's Knothole Gang. And it was three kids from the neighborhood, and one of the Dodgers would work them out, whether they were catchers or shortstops or whatever. And it would be Ferrillo or someone like that. I think Carl Erskine, when I was a catcher, threw to us. But then they took us into the dressing room and introduced us to everyone, and took us, the Cardinals were playing, and DeMuzio and Slaughter and all those guys. And I only remember Jackie had a crackly voice that you'll never forget it if you spend at that many years ago. It was cracky look like, but you know what he said?
What's that?
Hitting. He said, "Work on your hitting. Hitting is the key." He told three of us, all three of us were,
oh, how interesting,
were there. Yeah, hitting. He said, boys, don't forget, hitting is key. You work on your hitting. Yeah, but in any case, Ali was a different situation, but he was an awesome guy and a great experience he had. I spent about 2 days. But and you know what you should do, or someone should do, because you could tell his thought process was extraordinary. This was in 75, so there was about 25 years difference.
Sure.
But you could tell that he was special, and I'm kind of trying to flash back now, but he, oh, if you could, and you might have access to this or be able to do it, because I think it would be memorable. He gave, during the time, this was right when he came back from his,
when he went away during the Supreme Court case, yeah.
Right, exactly. But he gave an awful lot of college speeches and Q&As.
No, I will see if I can find one, Bill. That's an incredible suggestion.
Well, not one, but he did. Someone should put a program together.
Okay.
Because they used to put clips of those on TV.
Right.
And he was awesome.
My bad.
He was awesome. And they must have them someplace there in the archives. Oh, and if somebody could put a package together with those, and to hear his frank and honest opinions, and the Q&As of it.
Okay.
Was awesome with the students. All right. Thanks again for your time.
Bill, thank you for sharing that. And I will, that means a great deal. I will see if we can look into it. I'm sure that.
And you know, you wonder why baseball doesn't do that with the children anymore. To, you know, no one that I know, aside from the Dodgers, ever did that to include the children. And it was, It was really neat, you know.
Bill, thanks for sharing that. Yeah, no, I really appreciate that. We're talking about We're talking about two of the most influential sports figures of all time in Jackie Robinson and Muhammad Ali. Let's check out Craig in Oregon. Hey, Craig.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks a lot.
Good. I was actually. Great show today. I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Both the Bills, but I was calling actually to respond to Ryan and his take that the SEC, I guess, is afraid to come out and challenge the Pac-12. Yeah, I thought the same thing. Next year we have Oregon and for 2022, the Chick-fil-A kickoff game is going to be Oregon and my Georgia Bulldogs.
Right.
I can't wait for it to get some of these SEC fans to quiet down just a little bit. I remember just a couple years ago, we had the University of Oregon's opening game was against the Auburn Tigers.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the funny thing is I ran into a couple of the Duck fans out that day during the game and talked about how they had a big game that day and nobody seemed to even know they had a game that day.
Well, Craig, when things are legal in one part of the country and not anywhere else, you can tend to forget easily.
That's 100%. I tell you, you know, it's kind of funny. Whenever I moved out here, I'm from North Carolina originally, and it was culture shock when you come out here and realize that they just don't do football the same way. And, you know, you figured, okay, maybe in Eugene it's a little bit different. No, it's no different. And, you know, it's listening to Stuart Mandel the other day, it was just holy crap, man. Everything that I've had to say since coming here, he just put in a nutshell. And it was.
Yeah, it was really kind of
such a relief.
It was sad because, and I appreciate Stuart trying to do what Larry Scott couldn't do in 10 years as the commissioner. Hey, thank you. I hate to run. We are a little bit late for a break, but two fantastic calls, Bill and our friend from Oregon.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Shopify.com/network.